It's Easter time in the free world, and this is Monitor, bringing you the Easter spirit from everywhere, the old world and the new. Al Capstaff in Radio Central, and 900 miles west of here, there's a new world Easter problem on the minds of two distinguished clergymen. The problem? Are Easter churchgoers regular churchgoers? Or is there a tendency today to pay only occasional lip service to Christianity? For some light on the subject, Monitor goes to the scene of the discussion, the University of Chicago campus, and Professor Edward W. Rosenheim, Jr.
New World is paying an Easter visit today to two of the university's distinguished religious educators. They're the Reverend Gerald C. Brower, Dean of the Theological Faculty of the university, and the Reverend W. Barnett Blakemore, Dean of the Disciples Divinity House. A clerical acquaintance of mine, gentlemen, has remarked that Easter takes on a certain irony for him because of the presence in his congregation of what he calls Easter bunnies. And by Easter bunnies, he means those who leave their suburban burrows only once a year at Easter to come to church. Does this seem a just kind of accusation to you, Mr. Blakemore?
Well, Mr. Rosenheim, I can match your clerical acquaintance with one of mine who always makes the comment that he hopes that the Easter bunnies who come out only on Easter will at least put enough in the collection plate to pay for the rental of the chairs that he has brought in extra to put in the aisle. But actually, I think that it's can really be questioned whether or not the people who come to church on Easter include many people who are not Christians. I suppose that on Easter Sunday, most churches have 3 to 4 times the number of people who will be present on an average Sunday. But the other interesting fact is that on the average, a church will have in attendance at a Sunday morning service 1/4 to 1/3 of its congregation. I think that one might draw the conclusion, and perhaps rightfully so, that most of the people who come to church on Easter Sunday morning are actually members of the congregation, and that the whole Christian community is out at once. I would have to admit, of course, that there is bound to be a sprinkling of people who do come just once a year, and they come on Easter Sunday.
Well, Mr. Brower, do you share Mr. Blakemore's charitable view of the matter?
Well, by and large, I think Mr. Blakemore is correct that probably the great proportion of people who attend on Easter Sunday morning are nominally at least Christian in that they do go to church once or twice a year, probably even support the church through their offerings, and this is one or two of the times when they turn up for church services. However, is that not the problem, Mr. Blakemore? Namely, these people who are church members and who often do support the church financially or send their children to the Sunday schools seldom turn up for church, with this exception, Easter Sunday morning or perhaps Christmas.
Yes, they seem to be people who have come 2 or 3 times a year. I suppose most ministers might wish that there were more people who came on Easter Sunday who were not members of the church,
mm-hmm.
in order that they might at least reach them on that one occasion. But I think that it is right to say that the Easter morning celebration is primarily a gathering of the whole community of Christians at the greatest of all of the Christian feasts.
What actually are the reasons that Easter and Easter alone seems to bring out what you've described as the total community? What are the characteristics of this particular occasion, do you suppose, that account for this?
Well, I think there are a number of factors, Mr. Rosenheim, and I don't think you could isolate any one factor. I think you'd have to look at a whole complex or series of things that bring people out on Easter. You might begin by mentioning such things as this is, after all, one of the great festivals in the life of the church. And it plays sort of a symbolic role in the life of people that are interested in the church in any fashion whatsoever. And therefore, if they're going to go to church, this would be one of the occasions on which they would go. Then you add to that such things as this is sort of a new time in the year, spring has arrived, people are changing their clothing from winter to spring clothing. And to be sure, some people come out to see the Easter hats and to participate in the Easter parade and this type of thing. Although I don't believe these are the major factors, though one cannot deny that it probably operates in a sufficient proportion of people. But I think you could mention a number of factors of this type that that
Well,
are...
you'd leave these jokes, really, about inspecting hats and walking to the in the Easter parade to the comic strips. I gather both of you feel that there are more serious motivations even for the occasional churchgoer when Easter comes around.
Well, yes, there are more serious motivations even for the ordinary churchgoer, but one ought to realize that if folk have gotten new clothes and have tried to measure up to their best and to put themselves forward in the best light of their character, that this does play a part in the festival. That is, people do come to this service as to an important occasion to which they want to rise, and actually the level of the occasion is looked upon as a very important one. And this, I think, accounts to some extent, at least, for the tendency of people to want new clothes and to appear on at their best on this occasion.
I suppose as clergymen, both of you men would be a good deal happier, wouldn't you, if people did turn out in larger numbers throughout the year and as some fashion comparable to Easter?
Well, no clergyman would want to discourage numbers of people from turning out for any service, be it Easter or in the middle of summer or any other time.
Well, what interests me somewhat is why it wouldn't be possible to convey some of the appeal that brings people out, some of the appeal you've already described at Easter time, to other Sundays throughout the year and spread the spirit of Easter around, so to speak. Wouldn't it be possible to do that?
Well, I think it would be possible if everybody could have good religious habits and if people realize the value of a more consistent church attendance, the things that could be gained from it. I suppose that one would have to say to some extent that we can't expect people to live at all times at the kind of level of spirit that is implied in the Easter season. Perhaps that's not a very happy commentary on human nature, that it can only rise to the demands of Easter about once a year.
Well, are you reconciled to the notion that the spirit of piety comes in cycles? That seems to be about what you're saying.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that. It isn't true simply about piety. It's true about anything in human life, whether it's the way a man thinks as a professor or a scientist or anything else. He has his ups and downs. There's a rhythm in thinking. There's a rhythm in the emotional life. There's certainly a rhythm in the life of faith and morality as well. No human being is constructed physically and psychically to operate at the same high pitch at all times. That it would be impossible. We'd probably burn ourselves out.
This rhythm is actually reflected in the sequences of the Christian year and the various holidays and festivals that are in it. I think that we have to recognize that a very important factor in the large attendance at Easter time is the fact that Lent has preceded it and that the church, in a sense, has been seeking a large attendance. Actually, in nearly all churches, attendance increases Sunday after Sunday during the whole period of 8 weeks preceding Easter. In fact, Palm Sunday, last Sunday, is also a day which has very heavy attendance in the church.
Am I correct in believing, by the way, Mr. Blakemore, that this habit of Lenten attendance prior to Easter is a relatively new tradition in a number of the Protestant churches?
Well, yes, that is true, because 30 or 40 years ago, there was not much emphasis placed upon Lent by a great many of our present-day Protestant denominations. There has been a recovery of the sense of the value of a Lenten or a pre-Easter season as a time of preparation. And pre-Easter services of preaching or preaching weeks in the churches have become more numerous. In all of our great American cities today, you will find downtown services in the weeks preceding Easter at the noon hour, and it is a period of time in which there is an accumulation of, shall we say, a religious experience or of preparation for the festival. In other words, people now really do come to it as to a great festival for which adequate preparation has been made. It isn't just one Sunday that appears suddenly in the year.
Well, Barney, don't you think this in itself is a vindication of the idea of the presence of rhythm or a modification in the religious life? The fact that Protestant churches have rediscovered the value of an idea of the church year, namely that there are parts to it, and these different parts make up a whole, and each plays a certain role in the life of the believer. For example, the coming of the Christ child at Christmas time, and then the growth of the Christ child and his movement into manhood, his role as a teacher, then the coming of his passion, namely the Lenten season, his suffering, all this pointing towards something. And of course it points towards Easter, towards the crucifixion first and then the reality of the resurrection.
Yes, but the difficulty is that when people come to church only on Easter or perhaps also on Christmas, that it's rather like coming in only for the last few minutes of a play. They can't have very much understanding of what their religion is all about and what the Christian faith really comprises. The people who have good religious habits and do come Sunday after Sunday are bound to come to this festival with a much greater sense of what it is all about, a much deeper appreciation, a better intellectual comprehension, and also, therefore, a deeper emotional appreciation for the Easter service.
Well, that's precisely why I take it we're discussing this question of lip service Christianity, the good and the bad side of it, right?
You're quite right, and I think there is emerging from what you've said already what is perhaps the basic question, after all, and that is the importance of formal or outward observation, the importance, if you will, mm-hmm. of church going as mm-hmm. far as being a pious and a worthy and a religious person is concerned. Mm-hmm. Now, am I right in my inference that both of you feel that church attendance is very directly connected with the religious life?
Well, I for one, would certainly say that this is so. Now, to be sure, it cannot be denied that many people can attend church regularly and be perfect hypocrites. This is so. It can happen. But on the other hand, I think one has to look at the positive side, namely, that through regular attendance in the church year, through exposing yourself, let us say, to the message of the church, to the fellowship of one's believers, to the whole reality of the Christian life, this becomes part and parcel of one's life, and they live in and through it. I've always been intrigued by the fact that Americans in particular are usually bothered by the idea of regularity in worship or the relation of form to belief. Somehow it's only belief that counts, or one's feelings. Outward observances are by and large played down. Now, this is curious because we as a people have a very extensive outward practice with regard to our patriotism. The role of the flag, our national anthem, almost as a hymn, and it's almost demanded of everybody in the public that they conform externally in form to these elements in belief and patriotism. Yet, when you'd come to talk about religion, some people are looked upon as idolatrous because they will bow or kneel in a church. Well, regardless of discussing this one way or another, I think the point is that outward form, what one goes through with one's body, is not unrelated to what one believes and the emotional, mental outlook that one has with regard to the religious life.
I'm very much interested in what you point out, particularly about the outward form of religion, mm-hmm. because there are a great many people who would not particularly like to be called churchgoers,
mm-hmm.
don't care whether they're called churchgoers or not, who would probably resent being told that they are not religious people.
Mm-hmm.
And the term churchgoer seems to me almost to have suffered a kind of debasement in our society today, at least in many quarters of it. Does that seem true to you?
Well, I think that it is very true, and that very frequently it is the church's fault, is that too many times during the year when there should be something of the same exaltation in every church service that is to be found in the Easter service, it is not there. That when there should be good instruction so that it is worthwhile for people to come to church regularly with the expectation that they will hear a message, that they will receive instruction in their faith, that this does not take place. I think that it's important to point out in that respect that Easter is usually thought of as being the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, every Sunday morning service is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the early Christians chose Sunday, the very first day of the week, in order to celebrate that event. And every Sunday morning should carry the same kind of fundamental spirit and feeling about it that the Easter Sunday morning service does. In other words, every church service on a Sunday morning ought to have something of the character of a festival.
Well, are you saying, Barney, that there's only a difference in degree rather than in kind between Easter Sunday and the other Sundays?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Easter Sunday one might think of as being the high festival or the greatest occasion out of all of the Sundays, but every Sunday morning should have this kind of character and quality about it. And I think that all too frequently this does not happen in the churches. The services become humdrum, they become very routine. Perhaps the minister gets tired at certain times of the year. The congregation tends to dissipate because of holidays and vacations, things of this kind that all tend to take down the ordinary Sunday morning service. And yet, if the ministry and the church really watch their attitudes, they should create on every Sunday morning at least the fundamental feeling that is there on Easter Sunday.
I would agree with Mr. Blakemore on this and speak a word in behalf of the belabored layman that, to be sure, the Easter spirit ought to prevail throughout the year, throughout the church year, and whatever Sunday, but the fact is it does not, and it isn't just the fault of the layman. Probably the basic fact is human nature itself, but I would say that the church itself has not succeeded too well in maintaining the pace in its daily life, the excitement, the enchantment, and the lure for its believers and for those who commit themselves to its care to carry them through. Now, all of this, of course, is said with the qualification before that you can't live at the same pitch all the time. I'd like to raise another question at this point, if I might.
That's what we're here for.
That is, in a way, is not Easter itself so important because it commemorates supposedly that which happened in the life of the community? After all, the church really had its beginning. Granted, coming out of the older community of Israel, it had its rebirth, let us say, in the Easter message, in the pointing to the reality of Jesus Christ as triumphant over death. Now, this is commemorated in the life of the people in the same way that, for example, a wedding anniversary is. Now, your marriage goes on all the time, and you live in relation to your wife every day, and your family, but there's one day every year that's the anniversary, so to speak. And this becomes an important thing in the life of this family and of this couple, and we all know what happens when we forget it. Well, I think we can say that, likewise, the importance of Easter is that this points back to the fact or to that event in the life of the community which brought it into being, that sustains it, that impels it. And so it does have something of excitement about it above and beyond the average Sunday, even though the average Sunday commemorates the same thing.
No, I think it is should also be said that anyone who attends church on an Easter Sunday morning, whether he recognizes it or not, is acknowledging the redemptive aspect of our experience and our life. He is acknowledging the fact of human hope, the fact of the assurance of better things, the fact that somehow our universe is sustained by a God who intends that there shall be a redemption, that all of these things are actually involved. Sometimes people are accused of being exhibitionist in the way they dress on an Easter Sunday morning. But I think if they wanted to be exhibitionists, that there are many other ways that would be better suited to doing it than going to church on Easter Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. That actually they are trying to express something else. Now, it's a rather interesting thing also that while every minister hopes that there will be good weather on Easter Sunday so that the crowd will be as large as possible, that if bad weather comes, it isn't church attendance that drops very badly. What disappears is the Easter parade. And the churches will inevitably have a very fine attendance on Easter Sunday morning, no matter what the weather.
Maybe even a possibility of focusing on the central fact.
Well,
huh?
this may occur at that point, and there'll be less distraction with some of the things that might seem to be sidelines with respect to the occasion.
Well, in a way, we're at the heart of the matter here, don't you think so, Mr. Rosenheim? The question, what's Easter all about? Why bother to observe it in the first place?
I'm sure that is the heart of the matter. Maybe in the remaining moments we have, you might suggest what Easter is all about.
Well, certainly any one person attempting to explain the significance of Easter for himself, on the one hand, can only point towards something greater than he himself can express, and yet also try still to make sense out of this for himself and for others. and that is the fact that here the Christian community points to the reality of God's faithfulness in overcoming the worst that man could have done to God, namely on the cross. Death itself is swallowed up in victory. And I think that is the great fact that the church celebrates, that in the last analysis, human life makes sense. It has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end, and all of this is in the hands of God. And in the cross, in the resurrection, we are assured of its ultimate outcome.
And in however a minimum way, the man who comes to church on Easter Sunday is seeking to participate in this character of our existence and to give his profession of faith in it.
It's a reality in which he participates.
Yes.
And this, the Easter
this
service itself commemorates. Yes, and points
what,
to.
What you seem to be saying, gentlemen, then, is that church attendance at Easter, whether or not it's an exception to the general rule that prevails through the year, is something more than mere lip service religion, that it has meaning, that it has depth, that it has richness, and that it certainly is a worthwhile and important thing in our society. Thanks so much for allowing us to visit you on today's New World program. We've heard from the Reverend Gerald C. Brower, Dean of the Theological Faculty of the University of Chicago, and the Reverend W. Barnett Blakemore, Dean of the Disciples Divinity House. Now, this is Edward Rosenheim returning you to Monitor in Radio Central.
That was New World for today, the views of two University of Chicago clergymen on a subject growing out of today's Easter celebrations. Are Easter churchgoers regular churchgoers around the year? Next week, another adventure in ideas as the recent death of two prominent American wits, H.L. Mencken and Fred Allen, suggest a search into the art of the sneer.